from. That's just good singing. Ain't no two ways in ten about that. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. Matthew chapter 13. As we look into the scripture there, I hope you'll take time to be able to read, look with me and read along there in your heart. Verse 31, Matthew 13, verse number 31. If you find the place you're able to stand, we'll begin reading right there. All right? And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over these requests that have been mentioned. May you heal the sick, Lord, revive the saints of God, and save the soul that's lost and nearest hell. We'll thank you in advance for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while about the parable of the mustard seed for a few moments. In fact is that whenever you begin to look into it, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that's doing the speaking, and here he's preaching, and here he's telling people, you know, about the least and of the grain of seed, which is the mustard seed. And obviously he did not plan for it to become a tree. It was a herb that it was, but finally that it grew into a tree, and fowls came and lodged in the branches thereof. Now, in simplicity, what it means is simply this, is that God never intended that the church be a place to house thieves and robbers and liars and cheaters and fornicators and adulterers. And God never intended for saved and lost to be able to get along together in one body. And yet you'll find there's leaven in the church. Not everybody that ever comes to church. In fact, is when the devil comes and parks in the pew, you can find out that he's ready to do something. Sometimes she's blonde-headed. And sometimes she's black-headed. Sometimes they're brown-headed. Sometimes he is something or another. Sometimes only their hairdresser knows for sure. I said all that to say this, the devil is after you, and he's after your family. And I don't know that, but he's after your church. And by the way, whenever you begin to look into it, did you notice there in the lesson that he said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed? Now, if you read in Mark chapter number 4, you'd find out that he terms it and calls it not only the kingdom of heaven here, but the kingdom of God over there. If you read over there in the book of Luke about the same incident, chapter number 13, he calls it again the kingdom of God. Now, here's the reason why that we want to differentiate between the two. The kingdom of heaven is an external thing. I mean, everybody that comes here, as far as you're concerned, you're part in the kingdom of heaven. Now, you may not be saved, but you're identified with an external group. But let me tell you, the kingdom of God is something internal. You may be a part of a religious community, but you'll not be part of God's family until you're washed by the blood, born into the family, and then you're in the kingdom of God. And that's an internal thing that takes place in your heart and your life. That's the reason whenever you begin to look into it is that the church had small beginnings. Remember when she met on the day of Pentecost and she was in an upper room? In fact, as you'll find out, I was driving down the road many moons ago. And I was listening to some preacher on the radio, and he was talking about the day of Pentecost. And he said, what, we need another Pentecost? No, we don't. Pentecost was a Jewish feast, not an experience. And let me tell you, they said, well, the reason why that the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost is because they were in the upper room, that 120, and they were praying. Now, that's where we ought to be, is praying, but that ain't the reason why the Holy Ghost came. It was prophesied of days of old, back in Leviticus, what day that he was going to come and that he was going to embody the church. And let me tell you right now, is it wouldn't have mattered if the people upstairs that were praying, they could have been playing Chinese checkers or just regular checkers. And the Holy Ghost of God would have come just like he did in power on the day of Pentecost. Now, I'm glad that's not what they were doing. But I'm just trying to tell you that sometimes people say something, they don't know what they're talking about. in the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you what he did, is that this is the message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by the way, whenever you begin to look into it, you're going to find out something about it, is that you're going to find that whenever a person is washed by the blood, born into the family of God, is that they're going to be producing fruit. Now, I know some people, you know, across the country that some of them are dear to my heart, and some of them are kin, some of them are not. And I've never seen them outside of professing they know the Lord. I've never seen them one time bear any fruit whatsoever to that effect. Look in verse number 8 of this text, that if you will. The Bible said, whenever they was the plowing, the planting, rather, there wasn't any plowing, but the sower went forth to sow. And in verse number 4, some fell by the wayside, the fowls came, devoured them up. Verse 5 is that you'll find there were some there that had been thrown out, and there wasn't much earth, and they sprung up, but they had no deepness of earth. And then the sun, verse number 6, scorched some of them, because they had no root, and they withered away. Then some fell among thorns in verse 7. And the Bible says, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And others, but the others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God, you were sown, and it's good ground that you are. And God not only has saved you, but he's bringing forth fruit through your life. He says, and those that are on good ground, he brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold, you see. And he said, now, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, you better have something more about your life than just a little profession of fame. And what you'd better have is have some production of fruit that's in your heart and your life. And you may not bring forth as much fruit as somebody else, but if you're a child of God, you bring forth some fruit unto him. That's just the way that it is. It's impossible for a person that's saved to not be concerned about those that are not. If you're a child of God, you know somebody that's lost. I say this every now and again, especially when it comes across and hits my mind, is that when you come to a service like this, is that you that are saved know somebody that's lost without God. And if you don't know anybody, it's you. It's that simple. I know some people, some of them certainly are, I don't know, productive in the business world. They don't have a clue what it means to be born again. In this lesson here, you're going to find out that the church started out, it was a small beginning, 120 that were meeting in an upper room. And let me tell you right now, as you talk about a fruitful bunch, they were. In fact is, when you begin to look into this, the Bible says, is that there are those that have something, and there'll be much given to them, and there'll be those that don't have anything, and it'll be taken away from them. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, you're either gaining or losing one or the other. Look in verse number 12 and 13. He said, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. I got to say to you, that was a fulfillment, according to verse 14, of a prophet of Isaiah. And let me tell you right now, is that whenever you're saved by the grace of God, is that you've got something real that others can hear and others can see. I noticed something else in this lesson, verse 15. For the Bible said, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their heart. There it is. And should be converted, and that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now that's a very powerful verse, and that's very important that you and I look at it. You know, the religious crowd, they go through the motions, but they never hear anything from God. They never take it personal to themselves whatsoever. I was talking to, out of all these years, I've had people walk up and said, you know, preacher, you seem like you're trying to make that too personal. And my question is always to them is this, you're a person, aren't you? It is personal. Let me tell you right now is that wouldn't do any good to preach to a crowd that's not here. It's not going to do any good to preach to somebody that's absent. Of course, it doesn't make them mad either. But let me say to you, you that are here, you that are present, let me tell you, you've got ears to hear, eyes to see, and a life to be obedient thereunto. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that the Bible said is that there's a planting here. And in verse number 22, the Bible said, he that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Too many other things pulling at that person. Too many other things got their mind preoccupied. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it. Remember the day whenever you heard the word and you understood that it was right for you. And that which here, which is also beareth fruit and bringeth forth 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to make the message of God and salvation and forgiveness personal to you and I. I remember whenever I was growing up, I went to Sunday school and church and on a regular basis. And I didn't always go and come without being in trouble. I mean, you know, sometimes that I didn't know when to hush, and sometimes I didn't know when to speak. And we used to have some of those long, drawn-out business meetings over nothing. I make a motion, preacher, that we, and then this, I say we send sister so-and-so, and boy, I'm telling you the truth, it would just go on and on and on. Anybody else got a word to say? And here I am as a lad. I said, I make a motion, we go home. And son, I'd get slapped right off the pew into the floor. Knowing that somebody, like my mama or my daddy doing the slapping, felt the same way that I did. I mean, how could you not? Let me say to you that, if you will, is that's why probably I every now and again, you know, want to put my underwear on my head and howl at the moon. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is, that Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, talking about himself, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when God saved you and I, it was by sowing of the Master and the seed, which is the Word of God, and that he put into our heart. Now, there's something else that sprung up besides people that are converted, and that was tares. Somebody came and said, there's tares been sowed among the wheat. And he said, the enemy hath done this. I got to tell you right now is that I have been doing this now since 1974. What is that, 49 years? Coming up 50 in March, something like that. I want to say to you that, if you will, I've always had an element of enemies in the church of the living God. Somebody tells me every now and again, a preacher come up and say, man, I didn't realize at all I had an enemy in the church. And I didn't know I had an enemy in the world. If you're preaching the gospel, you've got some enemies. They may be kin to you. They may have come from without and got within. They may rise up from on the inside of you. Don't ever think that you're going to ever have a place to where there's not some enemies and sparks of enemies that's going to rise up even against you until you get to heaven. When you get to heaven, there won't be any enemies there. See, you and I look at somebody and they're so professional. You ever have anybody that was just real professional to you? And then after a while, it was like they were Mr. or Miss Goody Two Shoes and they were not honest whatsoever. I had a man tell me one time on his front porch, he's dead and gone now in heaven. I don't know. Hope so. In hell, possibly. I hope not. He said, preacher, you got to watch this congregation here, which is not this congregation, but it was the other one that we were in, because there's a bunch of backstabbers in this congregation. He did not tell me that he was one of them. That showed up later. I just said all that to be able to say this, is that the tares are sown by the enemy. And you know, they look so similar to the people of God, you can't tell the difference. Huh? I've had a few every now and again, you know, and somebody said, ooh, I can't believe that person would be. See, it's not those that I can detect real easily, it's those that I cannot detect. But God knows the difference. In other words, they were imitations. They're the one trying to imitate the people of God. They can't appreciate the people of God, but they try to imitate the people of God. Do you know what the Bible said, that if you will, please, just let them both grow together? God said, I'm on top of it. I know exactly who they are and what they are. And at the end of the harvest, I'll separate the wheat from the tares, and I'll take the tares first, bind them for the bundle, and burn them. And I'll take the wheat and put it into the barn, God's barn room. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, and here's what we're talking about. We're talking about that here, that every now and again, the church ain't got to be an abnormal growth. It was supposed to be an herb, and it got big and grew for a tree, and fowls lodged in the branches. That's evil presence right there. Look in your Bible. Don't lose your text, but look in your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 18. I'll give you a moment to find that. In chapter 18, book of Revelation, and about verse number 2. Now, the Bible says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become a habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That's in birds that he's talking about during the church age that's over there in the book of Matthew. You think our Lord don't miss a lick? He don't. And let me say to you that, if you will, that these fowls, they lodge in the branch. They not only are a source of imagination, intimidation, and they're also a source of contamination. And, you know, evil communications corrupt good manners. And as a result of that. Now, here's what God called this evil presence and these fowls that lodged in the branch. Here's what he called them. Spots in your feast, wrinkles in your congregation. I'll give you two or three places there. One of them's in the book of Ephesians. You can turn there quickly. But over there in the book of Ephesians, there's a passage concerning the church of the living God in Ephesians chapter 5. It's about verse number 26, and we'll take time to look at it. Notice that, if you will, in verse 26 of Ephesians 5, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. I hope you're not a spot or a wrinkle in the church of the living God, but there are some. Or any such thing, but that which should be holy and without blemish. God saved you. While you turn to the book of Jude, and about verse number 12, there's a passage that I want you to look at there. Over there in the book of Jude, that's the last chapter before you get to Revelation. And in the book of Jude here in verse number 12, God says something specifically about these spots and wrinkles. And I want you to notice what he says in that lesson. Verse 11, warn to them, for they've gone the way of Cain. He was a religious man, but he didn't believe in the blood. Remember that? Slew his brother Abel over that situation. And he said that they've gone the way of Cain and greedily after the heir of Balaam for the reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Now, notice what he said, verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. These are people that want to have it their own way. These are people that lay aside the word of the Lord and try to be able to offer what is left over unto God. These are people here that lie, cheat, connive, don't believe in tithing, giving to missions, or anything like that. They just simply do whatever makes them feel good for the moment. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with winds of trees and whose fruit withereth, and without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Man, what a sad condition that is. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that the Lord knew from the very beginning there were going to be some spots, there were going to be some wrinkles, there are going to be some tares that are going to be mixed among his people in the church of the living God. And, of course, if you read over there in the book of Revelation, the church over there at Pergamos, they finally got to where that they allowed people, they didn't believe it themselves, but they allowed people in their congregation that preached and practiced the doctrine of Balaam. And you know what the doctrine of Balaam is? He forsook the right way. As a result of that, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He did what he did for money. And as a result, he taught Balak, the king of Moab, to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. And they began to commit idolatrous worship and fornication with some of those people of Moab. I said all that to be able to understand and to say this here. Is that it's good to be able to know that our Lord and our Savior You can't slip up on His blind side. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly who you are. And He knows exactly what you need. I remember the day that God came knocking on my heart's door and showed me myself like He saw me. Not only did He do that, but then He availed me of the grace of God. And by mercy and grace, I was able to get born into the family of God. I don't know about you, that's the reason why whenever they're singing it, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I hope you are. And if not, I hope that before this is all said and done, that God will come knocking on your heart's door. And that soon that you might bow your head and your heart and trust Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. I was looking at a little bit of the news this morning. And they had some singers that were on there. And I couldn't understand what they were singing, but man, all of Fox News, they were clapping, and man, they were rejoicing as though they had really heard something. I was thrilled when they stopped, and so I clapped a little bit because it was over. But it just shows me that there's a lot of people out there that don't have, they're like Phil Robertson. Is that his name at Duck Dynasty? That's the nastiest looking guy. He says he's unashamed. I guess he is. Look at him. Look how he looks. You'd have to be unashamed to go out there in the world and look like that right there, professing to know God. Back when I was a kid growing up, everybody looked at that as being a hippie. See? I got to tell you something. I wrote him a letter, you know, whenever he was really on those queers, and somebody ought to be, and thank God he did, and it cost him plenty. But he also got plenty of publicity out of it. I wrote him a letter. I said, did you ever read over there where the Bible said that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? Doeth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? And I sent it. I said, and your hair is longer than your wife's. Thank you for taking the good stand you're taking and gave him a passage or two. And you know what I got? I got a nice letter in the mail with the letterhead on it. I've still got it. I kept it. And it said, thank you for your support. Well, what about the scripture that I just talked about? Huh? Somebody said, that won't do any good. Done me good. And somebody, somewhere, will stand before the Lord with that. No doubt about it. I'm not responsible for how people receive it or react to it. I'm just responsible to tell the truth before God. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank You for loving us. Lord, we praise You and we thank You that Thou art God and beside Thee there's none else. Lord, these that are sick this morning, these special requests that we've mentioned, we're praying for them. May You touch them, restore their health in accordance to Thy word and Thy will. Now, I pray that now You'd continue to watch over us. Help us, I pray, to use our lip and life to be a witness for Christ.